Jill Anderson is a naturalist and plant ecologist, and she joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome, Jill.
Hello.
Well, with fall definitely upon us, our thoughts turn to hibernation, and in this case, that includes snakes. I don't often think of snakes as hibernating.
Oh, but they have to. And I don't know, are you thinking about hibernation?
Oftentimes this time of year, yeah. Yes.
Okay, well, then there's some level then that we must be able to relate to the snakes in this regard. Snakes, like our other amphibians and reptiles, need to find a place to spend the winter because they are not, they can't produce their own heat. They rely on the ambient temperature, basically, to keep them at a temperature that they can move at. And so as late September, early October, snakes need to start looking for a place that they can safely survive the winter. And unlike other critters we're familiar with that hibernate, bats and bears and those kinds of things, mammals, snakes don't live off stored fat. They don't, you know, they have no no magic related to conversion of certain kinds of fats into, you know, really efficient heat temperature maintaining source of energy. Snakes simply have to get to a place where they're below the frost line, so that stays, you know, above freezing, and that, and then they just slow their metabolism down to virtually nothing. I mean, it's so close to nothing, it's hard to know the difference. So they, unlike other animals that at this point are feeding ravenously to build up as much stored energy as they can, snakes may not eat for 2 or 3 weeks before they go into hibernation because they don't want any undigested food rotting in their stomachs because their metabolism is going to go to nearly zero. They're not going to be they're going to be able to digest anything. So they're slowing down on the eating side, and they're also beginning to move towards what in some cases may be traditional hibernacula, places where they're going to spend the winter, reliably spend the winter. And sometimes snakes may do this just individually in the old tunnels of squirrels or chipmunks or groundhogs, something that gets them, you know, down low. Or they could be going up into talus slopes where there's deep, deep, you know, piles of rocks. Just jumbles of rocks that are not associated with any big feature, but just happen to allow, you know, a transition down deep into the ground, where from our perspective, we might have no clue that you could actually, you know, if you were small enough, get way down. But so snakes, in many cases, have over many generations use the same hibernacula over and over again. And sometimes they'll be traveling over very traditional routes even to get to those. That's been documented in some places, to get to those hibernacula at this time of year. And they do, even up here, sometimes gather in groups in these hibernacula and spend the winter together. Because we have more options than some places in the northern part of their range of garter snakes, but we don't have a ton of options, and so I've had at least one opportunity to just by chance come across in the early spring snakes coming up from one of these hibernacula where they all spent the winter together, and there were hundreds of snakes that were, you know, had gathered at this place. And
yeah, I've heard of that. Actually, I experienced not hundreds, but a group of them. Mm-hmm. I can't remember how many, but again, on the side of a very steep hill where there were a lot of rocks and cracks and crevices.
Okay, that cool. Sort of thing. Yeah. So that's where they're moving to now, and hopefully they'll you know, all make it there. You know, the anytime we get these cold nights that are common at this time of year, even if it warms up during the day, of course, that's going to slow them way down. They can't come out and start moving around till the temperature gets high enough, and they're going to try to spend the night in a place that's more protected, you know, under a rotting log, or, you know, in a pile of leaves that you might have made, or in your compost pile, or something like that. So you catch glimpses of them this time of year, you know, when the weather's warm enough on a sunny day or something. But that's what they're mostly about this time of year, is trying to find
that. Are snakes the only ones that have that metabolic trick? It seems to me we've talked about other amphibians.
No, yeah, right. Other amphibians and reptiles, the turtles, the frogs, the salamanders, they're all going to slow their metabolism way, way, way down. In the case of snakes, they never become completely comatose. You know, they just get very, very sluggish. And for instance, if they pick a spot that they think is good enough, but it starts to get cooler, you know, to cool down beyond what is comfortable, they're actually able to, you know, move lower, assuming that that's possible. You know, they can move lower until they, you know, find a depth sufficient to sustain them given whatever the temperatures are. In the case of frogs, you know, the ones that are going to hibernate on the land in the woods are going to get under the litter, rotting, decaying wood, and they're going to just freeze. You know, they have a different adaptation than snakes, but they're all going to, turtles are going to lower their metabolism. They can't freeze. They have to go into the mud and at a safe place in terms of below where it's going to freeze out, hopefully, and then lower their metabolism way down.
So I'm assuming that when the snakes start to come out in the spring, that's not an indication of whether there's going to be six more weeks of winter.
Right.
I'm sorry, that was too good to pass.
Right. No, I think it's safe to say if the snakes are out, there's going to be some summer ahead.
I guess so. Jill Anderson regularly updates us with goings on in our woods and waters and underground and in the rock crevices. So thanks for the snake update. We'll be waiting for them to come back out again.